org. And now stay tuned for Disability Beat. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Samantha Alloway, executive director of the Arc of Illinois, on their upcoming annual convention happening in Bloomington this month. But first, disability news for the week of April 7th, 2025. Disability advocates filed a lawsuit against the Social Security Administration this month following the agency's announcement that it would reduce its workforce by 7,000 of its 57,000 workers, with additional plans to close its Office of Civil Rights and Equal Opportunity and its Office of Transformation. They will also reduce the number of regional offices while at the same time requiring that more services are handled in person. The complaint was brought by the American Association of People with Disabilities, the National Federation of the Blind, Deaf Equality, the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, the Massachusetts Senior Action Council, and seven people with disabilities. They stated in their complaint that the, quote, "The defendant's actions are an unprecedented and unconstitutional assault on Social Security benefits concealed beneath the hollow pretense of bureaucratic reform," end quote. Since January, the Trump administration has moved increased responsibilities to already overburdened field offices while cutting back on telephone services, resulting in the dismantling of SSA's core functions. The suit alleges the defendant's actions will stoke deeper delays in processing applications for benefits, shackle access to critical accommodations, and in many cases strip individuals of any means to file grievances. The individuals who bear the brunt of this bureaucratic neglect are precisely those the defendants are entrusted to protect and serve, people with disabilities. The suit alleges violations of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, the Administrative Procedure Act, and the U.S. Constitution. In addition to the Social Security Agency, the suit names Acting Social Security Commissioner Leland Dudek, the Department of Government Efficiency Service, or DOGE, Acting Administrator of DOGE, Amy Gleason, and Elon Musk in his capacity as the de facto leader of DOGE. With the lawsuit, the advocates are asking the court to reverse course on the layoffs, the closure of the Office of Civil Rights and Equal Opportunity, and the Office of Transformation, and other recent changes that they say limit access to services for Social Security beneficiaries with disabilities. At the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Community Living, about 50% of the staff was terminated last week, including the budget, policy, evaluation, and communications offices, according to Allison Barkoff, a professor at George Washington University, who led the administration for community living under the Biden administration. The firings were announced last week that 10,000 workers would be let go. The agency indicated that it would shrink by 20,000, reducing 62,000 employees after reducing to 62,000 employees after factoring in firings, buyouts, and early retirements. The plan includes completely dismantling the Administration for Community Living, which was established in 2012 to bring aging and disability programs together across HHS. The agency funds and works with over 2,500 community organizations nationally, including including Centers for Independent Living, Protection and Advocacy Systems, Developmental Disabilities Councils, and much more. HHS representatives have not provided details about how many staff from the Administration for Community Living are being fired, how the agency will be split, or what will happen with funding that the agency has yet to disseminate to programs. Representatives from multiple disability advocacy groups said they were shocked by the plan to break up the Administration for Community Living, and more than 450 groups wrote to Congress urging opposition to the effort. Many programs funded through the Administration for Community Living, like the Illinois Developmental Disabilities Council, typically receive notification about their funding around this time of the year, according to Jill Jacobs, who served as Commissioner of the Administration for Community Living's Administration on Disabilities between 2021 and 2024, and is now Executive Director of the National Association of Councils on Developmental Disabilities. Jacobs said, quote, "All of the people who manage these awards were let go, so how will we get those funds? I recognize that having a leaner government and having leaner programs is a priority for this administration, and I understand that, but to make these changes without putting out any kind of plan or any kind of participation of anyone who knows how these programs work, I can't imagine that this can happen without programs closing," end quote. Programs supported through the Administration for Community Living include accessible transportation, alternatives to guardianship, respite care, improving home and community-based services, and improving the direct care workforce. And finally, Illinois State Senator Don DeWitt of St. Charles has proposed a bill that prevents people with disabilities from being overtaxed for adaptive vehicle equipment. According to Illinois statute, consumers should pay a 1% tax on medically required equipment and the customary 6.25% tax on the rest of the vehicle. DeWitt told members of the Illinois Senate Revenue Committee last week that the law is applied correctly when people add the equipment after they receive their vehicle, but they get charged 6.25% or more on the same adaptive equipment when it comes with the vehicle from the factory. Bill Bogdan, disability liaison for the Illinois Secretary of State, told the committee that the higher tax rate costs disabled consumers hundreds or even thousands of dollars, saying, quote, "I think this will obviously make it easier for people with disabilities in Illinois who purchase the adaptive vehicles since the adaptive equipment is very expensive," end quote. Bogdan said people in other parts of the Midwest pay less for adaptive equipment, including hand controls needed for driving in wheelchair ramps or lifts. If the bill becomes law, the amendment to the tax code will take effect on July 1st of this year. And that's the news for this week. 'Cause I'm the tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. Should 5% appear too small? Thankful I don't take it all. 'Cause I'm the tax man. You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. I'm happy to welcome on the program today Samantha Alloway, who is the relatively new director of the ARC of Illinois. Been on the show once already, Samantha. How's it going?
What'd you think?
Oh, I didn't hear you. What did you say? I said, so how's it going? And I pushed the wrong button. So tell me again.
Can you hear me now?
I can, yes.
Excellent. Vicki, I said, thank you so much for having me on again. And all I could say is a lot has changed in the last 10 months, huh?
No, you're kidding. Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Oh, Vicki. It's, you know what, though? I will say this. It's going well. You know, the ARC is standing strong in advocacy. In fact, right now, I'm actually talking to you from Washington, D.C. Myself and two of my directors, Carol Rosen and Greg Walkington, are here for the Disability Policy Seminar with the ARC of the U.S., conjoined with over 600 different advocates all throughout the United States, and we're joining our voices together to ensure the protection of Medicaid and the Department of Education and all the other long list of issues that we are dealing with in this industry right now. So for the moment, I feel I'm in the right place, you know? So we're fighting the good fight. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, day to day, it's like, what even can you focus on? Because so much is happening, so much is being taken away from people. But I am very, very glad that the Arc of Illinois is there and working on all of this stuff. Because, I mean, I don't know if there's any larger advocacy organization in the state. I doubt it. There are lots of small organizations, but you guys really do kind of take the lead when it comes to those big advocacy questions.
Thank you. And we have a lot of strong, powerful partners throughout the state, too. And I think that brings the power to the Arc of Illinois as our incredible members and all the other smaller organizations that join forces with us, especially in this time where our voices are definitely going to be louder together. So it's a really great place to be. In a time of turmoil, it is the best place to be is together. So we are moving forward.
So let's talk a little bit about your upcoming convention. It's going to be in Bloomington again this year. It was last, right?
That is correct.
And so what is there an overall focus for the convention?
So our overall focus is celebrating the 75 years of brilliance of the Arc of Illinois, because we turned 75 years old this year.
Unbelievable.
So, it's a very exciting time. And as a new executive director, it's been an amazing opportunity for me to dig into the history of the organization. I am the 8th executive director here at the Arc of Illinois, and the 2nd who is a parent of a child with a disability, the first one being Adele Carlson back in 1950. Everything in between has been incredible advocates, but this is almost feels like a full circle. We're coming back to have a parent voice at the center again. So it's a really honorable and amazing place to be. And we're bringing in the voices that our hope here is that this convention creates an energy that allows us as an industry to keep going forward, to keep fighting it, to keep finding the power in our voice and the power in our story.
Yeah. So let's talk about the details a little bit. I want to learn about who the keynote speakers are and some of the presentations that are going on, because it's a big 2-day thing that people can go to.
Sure.
And fortunately, living here in the Champaign-Urbana area or East Central Illinois in general, that you don't have to stay in a hotel. You can drive over for the day and do both days without having to, spend for a hotel necessarily.
That's right.
Let's tell the folks why they should attend. Who's going to be doing the keynote speeches to start with? I think you're first, aren't you?
I'm on day 2. Day 1, I really wanted to come in with a very powerful voice that has traveled the entire world giving motivational speeches and bringing people back to their reality. And so we're going to start on April 22nd with Dr. Alonzo Kelly, and he's going to be doing a presentation, Navigating the Terrain of Change Without Losing Our Way or Sanity. I don't think it could be any more perfect. Dr. Alonzo Kelly has a very rich history of advocacy in his own hometown and really just inspires people. I saw him for the first time 3 years ago at an anchor conference in Chicago. And quite frankly, his ability to speak and bring in the crowd made me want to lead. He's just somebody that can just bring your power to the forefront. And so we really wanted to start strong with that. And day 2, we have 2 keynote speakers. We do have myself, which is always a humbling experience, but I'm very excited to talk about We Are the Arc of Illinois, kind of re-engaging with our families and explaining to them why we are here, what are we doing here at the Arc of Illinois, and why this is the place to be, to bring your voice and to bring your strength. And we're just trying to unite families, parents, and self-advocates to create an environment where through all of this turmoil, we have our voices and we are strong. And also at 1 o'clock, we are going to have Emily Hall, who is a phenomenal sibling advocate, and just really talking about the story that began for her in 2006 and about finding this community of sibling advocates and how they can become friends and how it can even spark a career path to create a sibling advocacy, not just in your community, but around the world. So those are our 3 keynote speakers this year.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And I'm interested in Dr. Kelly because of his connection with the ACLU. It says here he served on the National Board of Directors for the ACLU. And it occurred to me that, you know, the ACLU overall does a lot of great work, but very little when it comes to disability rights. Do you think with his advocacy in that position that that may change, or is he no longer with the ACLU?
As far as I know, he is no longer with the ACLU. But I love that you're bringing that up, because I think it'd be a great opportunity for us to speak with him. He's going to be there for the entire convention. Mm-hmm. So families will also have access to speak with him and maybe bring those questions that we have to him. It would be a great source of information.
Yeah, I have every intention of asking that question if I have the opportunity. And I appreciate the focus on siblings, too, because we have had this very active Illinois brothers and sisters group around for a number of years, and they just keep getting bigger and stronger and more active all the time. So I think that's huge, bringing in the person who is running that program nationally.
We're thrilled to have her. And it's really just an opportunity to talk about the family impact of disability. And so often siblings can be left out of that conversation. Even in my own family, I can speak to that. We have to turn back around and say, okay, are all of our children getting the same amount of attention, which can be a challenge. So it's going to be wonderful to hear from someone that's really walked in those shoes.
Yeah. And Katie Neese, I don't want to leave her out of the list of high-powered people that are going to be presenting. She is the CEO of the ARC of the U.S. So,
that is correct.
And so what has been the focus of their effort politically? Are they're obviously as involved or even more so than the ARC of Illinois is, right?
Well, they're really at the pulse of everything federal. I mean, they are located here in D.C., so that's why we're here with the ARC of the U.S. right now. And Katie Neese has just been outstanding. She's been in so many publications. She's featured on CNN to discuss what the Department of Education falling apart, what it can do for children with special education and children with disabilities. She's really just been, I dare say, a safe space for all of us state chapter leaders to lean into. She's also been an open book. I've reached out to her by email and said, Katie, what do you feel about this? Should I attend this opportunity? In this role here, there's been so many opportunities to attend rallies and different Medicaid things, and we have to be careful with the difference of advocacy versus activism. She's been somebody and her team that's allowed us to ask questions and lead on. So we are so honored to have her here.
I would be too, and especially for the 75th anniversary, which is just an unbelievable number that, you know, and the growth that has occurred at the ARC of Illinois over those many, many years is just amazing too.
It really is tremendous. Yes.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of work to be done. You know, I think we all agree to that, and we will continue to do the work, but sometimes it's easy to feel like, oh, wow, we haven't made much progress at all. But as somebody who just spent months digging through 75 years of photos and of meeting notes, we have come a long way. And while there is further to go, I think it's important to know we have made progress and we will continue to do so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the breakout sessions that you have going on. And I know we don't probably have enough time to go through all of them, but maybe you can kind of give people a sense of what to expect and who they might see.
We have a lot of emphasis on Medicaid education and advocacy education and really empowering self-advocates and empowering parents to find their voice and how to contact legislators. I'm presenting alongside Susan Agrawal, who's our Medicaid expert here at the ARC of Illinois, and we're going to talk about this is the reality of Medicaid. Here's how you talk to your reps about it. So we're very excited about that one. We're also we're bringing in They Deserve More, the incredible team with Laura Anderson and Lori Opila will be with Carol Rosen, and they're going to talk about me, advocate? Of course you can. So it's an opportunity to tell people that may be shy to raise their voice right now and help them find that power within their voice. We're bringing the self-advocates to the room. We're going to, of course, have Jesus Chuy Campanzano. I don't know if you ever got to meet
Chuy. No, I know
Chuy.
Yes, I know Chuy quite well. Yeah,
he's outstanding. And TJ Gordon will be there. And we have Stephanie Cantor coming from UIC as well. So we're bringing in, you know, our our collaborators, UIC will be there, They Deserve More will be there, the Institute will be present, so Kathy Carmody will be present, Rebecca Clark will be present. We're excited for that level of collaboration in the room. So that's just on day one. We have Abel coming, and the Rubens will be there as well to discuss guardianship and financial planning. We're excited for Access Living to be present. Jersey Shabazz Hoser will be there, and he's also going to be talking about legislative advocacy. We have Laura Fine, which is very exciting. So that's the transition planning and starting early for lifelong success. So we really put a large-scale emphasis on trying to touch as many issues as possible with the overarching theme of finding your voice throughout these changes in administration.
Yeah. And you also, would you say most of the presenters are Illinois-based people, or do you have people from other places in the country? Are those mainly the keynotes?
The main ones would be the keynotes. We put a lot of emphasis into Illinois. And as we expand through the year in our leadership conference, we'll be trying to find best practices outside of the state as well to bring in those information. Mm-hmm. But for this year, we really wanted to focus on Illinois.
Yeah. So, I notice you have Alan Bergman coming. Alan was actually on the program last week. He's been doing a million things as well. So it'll be good.
He never stops.
He doesn't. I don't think he ever will. But he is actually.
Him and Dan are everywhere. Yeah. Yes, we're very thrilled to have him and to be speaking about for customized employment. I was like, I had this right here for customized employment. So the fidelity results, and him being such an incredible expert, it's an honor to have him present.
Yeah. So if people want to attend the conference, we talked about the fact, we can't really talk about the cost, but there is a cost to attend. Where do people go to learn about those options and to register for the convention?
Well, you can just log on to the arcofil.org. And that is where you would find all the information regarding the convention. But if you are seeking any type of scholarship type opportunities, we are also offering our consumer stipend through the Illinois Council on Developmental Disabilities that you could apply for. And that would be able to cover your attendance and your registration so that you could be there. And you could always reach out to me, too, with any questions or help on that. I'd be free if you'd like me to say my email. I'm very much an open book like that, too. It's Samantha@thearcofil.org. So you can reach out to me, and we'd be happy to get you on the right path.
Yeah. Are you getting pretty booked up with registrations yet, or is it still early on? I think you just released the brochure like last week, right?
Yes, but we've had registrations coming in, and very exciting news. This is actually the largest number of exhibitors we've ever had in the history of the Arc of Illinois.
Wow. Well,
we have over 42 as of last week. So it's a great opportunity for families to come in and meet families and products that will help to serve them. But it's people just like us, like our entire community is here to support each other.
Yeah, it's always an amazing experience, even if you are. I mean, I've been to conferences before and barely even went to a session because I was spending so much time talking to the exhibitors and people that I have not seen in forever and a day. So it's a great place to connect.
It feels like a homecoming, right?
It really does. It absolutely does. And it's a good place to, connect with all the folks who are kind of in the know and doing great work all over the state. So let's talk to, there's other stuff happening besides the sessions, and you alluded to it with the exhibitors, but there is also an art exhibit, yes?
Yes, that is right. People have been sending in their art throughout the state. I'll have an opportunity for everybody to view it there as well.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say something we're very excited with as we're working with every step of the way. We're going to have respite for this convention.
Seriously?
So families can sign up for respite so that they can enjoy some of the breakout sessions while their loved one is enjoying specialized respite care right there on site in the room across from the rooms that we will be exhibiting in. Right across the way, right across the hall, there will be respite. So we're very excited to be presenting that too.
That's fantastic. That's something that a lot of people have a hard time getting in, you know, any kind of circumstances these days. So having it at the conference, at the convention, will really be an advantage. And there's also, are you having a silent auction this year too?
Always, yes. And you feel free to donate anything you would like for the silent auction. We've got some really amazing opportunities thus far, including a signed stick from the Chicago Blackhawks, which I'm very excited about. So we'll have that coming in. We also have just local places. Will's Place was able to donate for us this year. And I'm going to give her a shout out because our director of development actually hand-knit a hat and a, what is, you're going to say it right, like a cowl. What is it that goes around the neck? It's not quite a scarf. You know what it's called?
It's. I think you're right. It's like a, it's like a covering around your neck and
I was blown away by her talent. She handmade them. So we'll be auctioning those as well. And they're beautiful. Uh-huh. I'm incredibly proud of her.
Yeah, I've always been outbid every single time, but it's kind of fun to, you know, do the shopping and say, oh, you know, maybe nobody else will bid on this one, or I can give all my money to it. And that way I will win. But, you know, we'll see how I do this year. For sure.
I'm very excited that you'll be there. You know, you and I haven't got to meet in person yet.
I know. Because last year at the convention, you had not yet been hired.
I had not, but I was at the convention. I presented at the convention last year.
Oh, did you? I missed that. So yeah.
I did. I actually was able to be at the convention last year and was quite nervous because I was still awaiting to see if I was going to get this poll or not.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was an exciting time, but we are... So it's such a different, obviously a different life for me right now than who I was that day. And then to go through this growth and to have this incredible opportunity to learn to plan this, because I think that's important to note that I'm learning every step of the way, you know, of how are things done? How are we going to change them and improve them in the future? And this is a very exciting time for us to have the 75 years, to have the different changes. I don't want to use the word exciting because it's not necessarily exciting. Right. But it is an opportunity that we are facing. Yes, we're going to say it's an opportunity.
It is definitely that. And you have such a tremendous staff of people, leaders. I think practically every person on your staff has been on my radio program at some point or another just to talk about the great work that they're doing. So, and I don't imagine that this is going to quit anytime soon. So, encourage people to attend, you know, take a look at the website. Again, that address is thearcofil.org. And if you want to talk to Samantha or email her, that's samantha@thearcofil.org, right?
Yes. And Vicki, I just wanted to note as well, we are going to have quite a few sessions in Spanish this year as well. Yeah, I don't believe I actually said that.
I'm glad you mentioned that. It's really important
to note the accessibility, and we're very proud of that.
I did notice that, and they look really interesting too. So, opening the doors to a whole other different, you know, kind of session that has been needed for a very long time. So I hope that you have really great attendance for that as well.
Thank
you so much for joining me today, Samantha Alloway, Executive Director of the 75-year-old Arc of Illinois. Thank you so much for being on the air.
Thank you, Vicki. Have a great
this
evening.
This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in and have a great rest of your week.
Dragging me down, gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. I
Support for WEFT programming is made possible in part by Bash Pepper Roofing. Large or small, they cover them all, commercial or residential. Bash Pepper Roofing offers roofing and re-roofing, gutters, siding, and door needs. For more information, 217-352-2200 or online at bashpepper.com.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Coming up next is Food Sleuth Radio.